In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing, and we're on the letter number one. We're on page 110 in the book. We're in letter number one of St. Annibal de Francia to Luisa from Messina, May 20th, 1924, and talks about the revelations about the divine will that Jesus has given to Luisa. And he says, the revelations about the divine will are sublime. This quote is for anyone who is reading the divine will, they say that's perfect. These are sublime writings, and these are truths that help everyone understand that this life is important, but the whole reason this life is important is to get ready for the next life, for the new life, for this abundant life, for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Luisa says, this morning I received a postcard from the Renewed Liberia Editrice Pontifica of Rome, asking me for 100 copies of the Hours of the Passion, the fourth edition, with the Treaties of the Divine Will. So here, St. Annibal de Francia is saying this. He says, how did they know about this? See, this is the thing that really is exciting. You'll go into church and, you know, for adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, and you'll see somebody reading the Hours of the Passion, or you'll see somebody reading one of the volumes of the Divine Will. And it's really exciting to know that behind the scenes, God is really working powerfully. He's working very, very powerfully. And he really needs us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness that's coming upon the earth. He says, how did they know? I don't know. It is the good God who is working here. And here we are hastening the work and pray. And again, these words from St. Annibal de Francia 98 years ago are the prayers we pray today. How is God doing this? I don't know. But it is the good God who is working. And here we are hastening the work. Every day that you read, someone else someone else enters into the divine will somewhere in the world. And so he says, I bless you and your sister, and I say yours in Jesus Christ and in the divine will. He's a canon, Annibal Maria de Francia. So here we see this humble priest blessing Luisa and her sister. Her sister would be there, but also, you know, it was the one who took care of her constantly, and that was Father Bucci's aunt Rosaria. And I can see him saying this to Luisa and her sister, yes, but also her sister, her cousin, Aunt Rosaria. So here is letter number two of St. Annibal to Luisa from Messina, 6/20, 1924. Currently, my morning meditation, in addition to the adorable passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved of our hearts, I meditate, that is, I read slowly with reflection two or three chapters of your writings on the divine will. So here, Our Lady keeps on saying to us, meditate on this. Now, how do you meditate? Very simply, read slowly and with reflection on two or three chapters of your writings, of the writings of Luisa. So it's like people have said to me, well, I finished the 36 volumes. Now what should I do? And it's like, you've just begun. You went through 36 volumes with one page. Now read it again and do it slower now and listen to each word that the word of God is speaking to you, to Luisa, and to you, to your heart. So read slowly and with reflection two or three chapters of the writings of the divine will. And the impressions I draw are intimate and profound. So here's St. Annibal de Francia, a great saint in the church, who says, I read this slowly And what I get, the impressions I draw are intimate, that this intimacy with God, and profound. See, when you read the Book of Heaven, it's nothing that you have read before. Even though it sounds familiar, it's brand new because Jesus is speaking it. And as the Word of God, as Jesus speaks, what he says, he just keeps on, like he says, Luis, I want to hear this echo. I want to hear this echo of the triune God speaking this I love you to humanity. And Jesus says, Honorable Francis says, see a sublime and divine science. This sublime and divine science is what happens to us as we read. It's an understanding that you can't put words to. You just know. You just understand a little bit clearer what God is teaching. Though I still do not understand it completely, given the scarcity of my intelligence. So here's this brilliant canon. And he says, I can't understand this completely because of the scarcity of my intelligence. And this is, again, his humility. When I speak to souls and I say, you know, how long have you been reading? And they say, well, 20 years. And what are you getting? And they say, the more I get into this, the more I'm in awe, the more I am in wonder. And I would say, well, what are you getting from it? And it's the same thing. My brain is too tiny. I've got a pea brain. What I sense is just the love of God. It's to see things from a divine perspective, to understand things from a divine perspective. That's hard to put into words. So this is one. These are writings that must be made known to the world. This is St. Honorable. I believe these writings will produce a great good. For as sublime as the science of the divine will is, so do the writings of divine dictation present it clearly and limpidly. And in my opinion, no human intellect would ever be able to form these truths, these lessons. And again, that's very clear. A friend of mine who's a priest, he's got doctorates in philosophy. And I said to him, read this, you know, and he read it and he goes, no human wrote this. And I'm looking at him like, how do you know this? And he just said, he says, humans don't think like this. He says, this is of God. God did this. And I said, you're absolutely right. I said, this was dictated to Louisa by Jesus himself. And he just smiled. He goes, yeah, he says, it makes perfect sense that God is speaking. Listen to what it says. In my opinion, no human intellect would have been able to form these truths. And this is why you've never read it anyplace else but the Book of Heaven. Jesus is speaking. And you really feel this intimacy with God, this oneness with God. You begin to understand in a way that is divine. It's the only way to put it. His proposal to you personally, this intimacy, he came to earth to find a bride. And his proposal is to the whole church, the bride of Christ, but collectively, but individually, he also asks permission. And when we say yes, we fall more in love with God. When we say yes, we fall more, we want to see God. We want to be with God. We long to be with God. This is why the children of the divine will, the first thing that God shows them is his desire that they spend time with him in the Blessed Sacrament, spend time with him, looking at him in the monstrance, just looking at him. So the Hours of the Passion, the fourth edition, is already at the end of printing, including the little treatise on the divine will. Now, this is St. Honorable. However, I am preparing several new chapters chosen from your writings. See, Jesus gave the 24 Hours of the Passion, and then as he's giving the 36 volumes, he tells Louisa, now this is the reason why the Hours of the Passion are so important. So St. Honorable de Francia says, I'm preparing several new chapters chosen from your writings, and I will add them to the treatise with a little preface. So here we have St. Honorable de Francia saying to Louisa, I want people to hear Jesus even more, the importance of these writings, the necessity of these writings, how powerful these writings are. In the meantime, I have commissioned new paper for the printing of one entire first volume of the Divine Will, about the size of the Hours of the Passion, the thickness. But we will have to make choice for the material when I come, God willing, together with your spiritual father, this is Louisa's confessor, and with you. So here, the three of them said, okay, how do we get this book out to the world? How do we begin to make this the volumes for humanity? And what St. Honorable de Francia worked on was volume 1 through volume 19. And after that, when he died, Louisa said to Jesus, you know, you told him he was going to print these volumes. And now he's dead. So how can he print these volumes? And Jesus said to Louisa, if you don't finish your mission on earth, you will finish it in heaven. And he says, yes, I encourage Father Nibale to get on these writings, to get these writings going. He said, so that he wouldn't have to do everything from heaven. He would do half of it and basically on earth. The second half really came out. I mean, the first half was by basically 1920 when he was publishing 1 through 19. But then the second half, if you want to say, came out in 1996 when they were released from the Vatican by Cardinal Ratzinger at the time. And now what's so beautiful is this new and divine way of holiness has been translated in English by 2005. So by 2005, we had all the writings in English. Now, what we need is somebody who knows Italian and their language, and then working on a publication, working on a translation. Now, that's going to be done by the Archbishop of Trani. He's going to do this. And they're working on it. I remember with Archbishop Cassati, you know, everybody was saying, you got to get these translated out to the world. And he says, yes, 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 I'm working on it. And then we heard Archbishop Piceri. They said the same thing to him. You got to get these rights. He says, yes, yes, I'm working on it. And both went to their eternal reward without finishing the translations. I can tell you the language that Jesus used is the language of heaven. And that's why it's very clear when St. Honorable de Francia said, I still do not understand it completely given the scarcity of my intelligence. It has to be done by a divine with this divine power of God. And fortunately, our translations at this point, I remember when we were down at EWTN with the Vicar General of Trani, with Father Bucci, and he says, you know, what translations do you have? And we told him, and he says, these are good. He says, they're the best so far. And then he said, in English. And then he said, to certain ones, don't follow these translations. Don't go to these translations. He really said that to us, which was really wonderful, because we know that the translations that we have are the best. a lot of people translate Italian if they understand the Roman dialect, but the Puglian dialect is a completely different dialect. And since our translator came from Puglia, who studied at Harvard, got a degree at Harvard, she's the one who did the translations, and they are the best. We heard that directly from the Vicar General. So in Italy, the translator is the traitor. Why? Because there's usually two words for one word. And if they choose the wrong word, they're misleading the language that Jesus spoke to Louisa. It's a slight curve away from direct truth. And this is why you have to have an understanding of the Puglian language, and you have to understand the English language. You have to, from where Luisa was from and from where you're from. If you're from Germany, you have to have Puglian and German, not Roman. It's, the translations are slightly different. It's a different direction, basically, the different dialects. So our God has given us the best so far, and we pray for all the languages. There's somebody in Poland that's translating the writings. There's someone in France that's translating the writings. There's someone in Japan, in Korea. Korea is very on fire for Luisa. I have no fear for Korea. These people are so in love with Luisa that it's wonderful. Taiwanese, the Chinese, there's been the translations, the Italian has been out there now since 2004, 2005. And I'll tell you, it's changing the face of the earth. That's why we're going through everything. We have to go through this purification of the priesthood, this purification of the church, the purification of governors, the states, the nations. Everything has to be purified because of what's coming. What's coming is so amazing. So I received a letter from Trani, from a cleric in love with a divine will. This is wonderful to hear. You're gonna hear what God is asking. Okay, I received a letter from Turin, from a cleric in love with the divine will. And that was really interesting. My mother's father was from Turin, and I just think it's my mother's mother was from Rome. My mother's father was from Turin. And here, the cleric, who was in Turin was St. John Bosco. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. He had written to me 3 years ago, and he had published in a Catholic periodical some chapters of the little treatise of the divine will, which is in the Hours. However, I always insist from one point, that is, sanctity does not consist of a formula. Okay, so this is very important. When people say to me, you know, how do you pray the prodigy? Then how do you pray the prevenient act in the morning? Now, we've got 4 pages of how to do it. And I'm going, 4 pages? Jesus gives 1 paragraph of how to pray the prevenient act and how to do your actual act. 1 little paragraph. There's no formula. We love formulas. Okay, we've got this done. Now we got to get this done. Now we got to get this done. Now we got to get this. I mean, some prayer groups, I feel sorry for the people sometimes, because some prayer groups, they go on for hours and hours and hours, and it's exhausting. You know, they've got responsibilities for their family. They got responsibilities for their job. They got responsibilities constantly. And a prayer group should be about an hour. You know, it should be, the way I found the best is the Holy Rosary first. Pray the Holy Rosary first. That calms you down. With all the busyness that's out there, you pray the Holy Rosary, you meditate on the mysteries, and you become still, you become quiet. This is very important, to begin to hear Jesus speak when you go through the writings. And you should have a priest help you go through the writings. It should be the priest who feeds the people this gift of gifts. He is in charge of this bread, the supersubstantial bread. The father is in charge of the bread of the family. The priest, the father, is in charge of the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. He has the key to the tabernacle. No one else should have that key. It's his responsibility. He is in charge, given to him by his bishop, who's in charge of the Eucharist. And then finally, you have the divine will, the first bread. It's the priest who gives this sacrament of sacrament out to the people. And this is what you're going to hear. He says, so sanctity does not consist of a formula. It's not, okay, we got step one done, step two done, step three done, step. If Jesus says it, of course we listen. He's the one that puts it in order. But if we're formulating it and trying to get it in an understandable situation, it's not going to work. So in order to form with this new science. It must be done by the saints who surpass those of the past saints. These new saints must also have all the virtues and all the heroic degrees of all the ancient saints, of all the confessors and of all the penitents, of all the martyrs, of all the hermits, of all the virgins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They got to be, you have to have the knowledge, the truths, the promises, the lessons in your life of volume 1 through volume 10. That's where you have to start. You have to become a saint. This, everything that Jesus taught Louisa is so essential that the first part, the first third of this book, if you want to say, is to begin to live a saintly, good, holy, pure life. That's where we have to begin. And the way to do it, the simplest way to do this, is volume 1 through volume 10. Then we go to the second part of the Holy Spirit. We're called to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That means this second Pentecost that's coming, we have to get ready for this. As Our Lady got ready with the apostles at the Senate, where they had the Last Supper, the cenacle, as Our Lady got ready with the apostles to get everyone ready for this great, for the first Pentecost, Jesus says, we got to get ready for the second Pentecost. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide you. The Holy Spirit's going to lead you. The Holy Spirit's going to fill you. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and he will remind you of everything that I have said. That's in the book of heaven. Now, you're going to be really astonished. The illumination of conscience is everything that Jesus and Mary have said to Louisa that we finally understand what this is. This isn't a devotion. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that our God wants us to live. So it's very, very clear. You have to pat this new science. It's you're pouring new wine into new skins. The old skins aren't good enough. They will burst. They've already been stretched to the limit. So Jesus is asking us, it's not to sew a new patch on an old cloak. It's to get ready for the new science that will surpass the saints of the past in virtue, in heroic decree, in ancient saints of the confessors, the penitents, the martyrs, the hermits, the virgins, everything that they possessed for the last 2,000 years, the children of the divine will must possess to the ninth, tenth degree. Okay, do you see how to get into living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit? It's to take everything that's been taught for the last 2,000 years and live it. That's volume 1 through volume 10. That's the simple way of doing it. So God is looking at us and he's saying, are you ready? Are you ready to dive into this infinite ocean of love? Volume 17, 9:17, 1924. Then afterwards, my sweet Jesus went on taking all the books written on his divine will, and he united them together. So this is all 36 volumes. And then he pressed them to his sacred heart. And with unspeakable tenderness, Jesus added, I, God, bless these writings of the book of heaven from my sacred heart. I, God, bless each word. I, God, bless each effect. I, God, bless each value that these words contain. See, Jesus says, this is the only book that will convert, transform a soul. It's the only book. There's thousands, million, maybe millions of books out there. The only ones that can truly begin to change a soul, Jesus said, is the book of heaven. He says, with unspeakable tenderness, I bless these writings from my sacred heart. I bless each word that I have spoken. I bless each effect. I bless each value that each these words contains. These writings are part of God. He says, part of myself. That I remember very clearly when we were having a prayer group back and I think it was 95, I think. And at the end of the prayer meeting, somebody just threw one of the books on the floor. And I went, what are you doing? You know, do you know what this book is? It's the book of heaven. What? Why did Jesus call it the book of heaven? Why does Jesus say, this is me? It's part of me, God. He wants us to begin to understand that as he speaks, everything changes. And he's speaking to us. So what does he do? Jesus called the angels who prostrated themselves at the their faces to the ground to pray. This is very important. And since the two priests, the two fathers who were supposed to see the writings were there present, Jesus told the angels to touch their foreheads in order to impress in them the Holy Spirit. What's our job? Our job is to pray to the holy angels to touch the foreheads of the priests that we want, the priests of your parish, the priests of your community. Touch their foreheads in order to impress in these priests the Holy Spirit. That's the prayer that we should be praying continuously. I hear a lot of people say, well, there's no priest. Yes, there is. We haven't prayed for them enough. Jesus told the angels to touch their foreheads in order to impress in these priests the Holy Spirit, so as to infuse in these priests the divine light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the good that are in these writings. So how are we going to get the lightings? How are we going to be fed by the priests? It's our prayer. Our prayer. Pray to the holy angels. And then when you're done, make it the command. Jesus, take this prayer and make it your command again. As those two priests that were touched, the angels touched their foreheads to help them understand these truths, comprehend these truths, I know now you're going to do it with this priest and with that priest and with this priest and with that bishop and with this bishop. You have to understand, it's going to happen. This is why this is called the Book of Heaven. Jesus is showing how and why this is going to take place. If we don't pray to the holy angels to touch the foreheads of our priests in order to impress in them the Holy Spirit, so as to infuse in them the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Your job, I know, the priests, I've mentioned this before, since the priests are human, when they say, you know, the fiddleback chasuble that they wear at the Latin Mass, the pillar is in the front of the chasuble. The cross is in the back of the chasuble, because the priest is supposed to be scourged and then crucified. Then another Christ, Alter Christus. And what's happening is a lot of lay people help these priests being scourged and crucified. I've met a number of priests who are very grumpy. And, you know, when you listen to what they went through, you can understand their misery. But once they begin to understand that this is what Jesus wants, for them to be more like him, being ridiculed and mocked and laughed at and spit at and rejected and persecuted, the happier they're going to be. That's a hard thing for people to hear. But they will also have the apostles with them. They will also have the faithful women who were with the apostles. It's going to be a community, a small community, but a true community, a true family. And this brings the importance of what's going to happen this August. I think we've been having, I don't know the exact number, but since the 90s, we've had, I think the early 90s, we've had the little family of Louisa get together every August 15th, because August 15th, is Jesus says, not only the great feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Mother, but it's the great feast of the divine will. Because where Our Lady has gone, we hope to follow. So that's going to be in Rome City, Indiana. We're going to drive out there, I think, on the 12th. That takes about 8 hours from where I am. And other people are leaving the day before that to get there on the evening of the 12th. Then the morning of the 13th, which is a Sunday, we'll have Mass. And then we'll set up for the three-day event. And that three-day event is Monday, all day Tuesday, and then we leave Wednesday morning. And if you haven't been to Rome City, if you don't know anything about Sister Mary Ephraim, if you don't know anything about Our Lady of America, it's going to knock your socks off. Because what's coming, what God has planned for the United States is astonishing. It's astonishing what God has planned. And when you begin to hear, when you begin to see, when you begin to embrace what God is doing, it's overwhelming. So let's get back to this here. This is important. Do this for your prayer group. This is a prayer that you can pray in the prayer group. Holy angels, touch the foreheads of our priests to impress on them the Holy Spirit, so as to infuse in our priests this divine light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the goods of these writings. And they'll be able to give them to us, feed us this first bread. And the angels did that. And Jesus, blessing us all, disappeared. See, he loves immediate obedience, because that was Jesus's life. He was immediately obedient. You know, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Our Lady's immediately obedient. Fiat voluntas tua, let your will be done in me, this dust, on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be done as you wish. With this fiat that Luisa believes, fiat voluntas tua, this Luisa lives this fiat, everything in the world has changed. Everything is different. Everything is going to get more different. And it's the only one that's terrified is the evil one and his companions, because they're going to be gone. When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, they're gone. And it's the priest's job to help the laity receive this divine light, this divine life, this divine love of God. It's the priest's job. Pray for your priests. This is a beautiful prayer. Pray for your priests that the angels touch their foreheads so that the Holy Spirit will be impressed in them. And then they'll see clearly, understand these knowledges, these truths, to be able to feed the flock. Volume 17, 4, 26, 19, 25. While I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. That's where Jesus dwells. He dwells in the interior of Luisa. That's very important. And placing one hand on my forehead and the other on my mouth, as though wanting to stop the many afflicting thoughts that came to me, he told me, be quiet, be quiet. Do not want to continue any further. So these thoughts are our thoughts. Jesus said at the end of Luisa's life, she said to Jesus, I am so sorry that I doubted and that I was worried and that I was anxious and that I was complaining and I was negative. And Jesus said, you weren't. It was everyone who would be reading the writings. It was their questions. It was their doubts. It was their worries. It was their fears. It was their anxieties. It was their complaints. It was their negativities that I gave you, Luisa, so that you could give them to me. And then I could answer you and you put it down on paper. So anyone who reads, their questions will be answered. If you're reading the Book of Heaven, all your questions are going to be answered. Guarantee you. Guarantee you. This is what's so beautiful. So he says to us, be quiet. Be quiet. And then he says to Luisa, do not want to continue any further. Don't listen to this. I want you to be peaceful. And see, our questions, I mean, sometimes people start questioning and they don't let you give an answer. they'll say, why is dot, 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 dot? And you go, well, Jesus said that dot, 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 dot. And they, and why is Jesus not? Okay, well Jesus says that, now does this on that one, dot, dot, dot. And well, what about, if you go, would you stop it? Would you calm down? Let's answer one question at a time. You're juggling, you know, you're not listening. It becomes a game. And this is what has to stop. It really has to stop. So he says, these are not your things, but mine. Jesus says, I'm going to take care of this. This is my divine will. I'm going to take care of it. It is my will that wants to follow its course to make itself known. And my will is more than sun. And it takes too much to hide the light of the sun. It is completely impossible to do this. Jesus says, I'm going to do this. Trust me. So what is the final devotion that Jesus gives to the church before he returns is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. And that's when you're reading, I tell everybody, when you're reading, God's going to answer your prayers. He's going to answer your questions. But he needs you to trust him. He's going to tell you when he's ready. He's the Lord. We don't snap our fingers and give me my answer right now. It's God's going to take care of it. So he says very, very clearly, if they stop on one side, it surpasses the obstacles that they have placed before it. So here Jesus is saying the divine will is going to reign. Somebody can throw rocks into the river. Okay. It might stop it on one side, but it's going to surpass. It'll surpass the obstacles that they have placed before it. So all the obstacles of those who don't want the divine will is going to be, God's going to take care of that. Squeezing through the other sides, it follows its way with majesty, leaving those who wanted to prevent its course confounded because they have seen it escape from all sides without being able to catch it. So here Jesus is saying the divine will is the third decree. As creation was the first decree, as redemption was the second decree. Now the third decree is sanctification. It's not going to stop. No one can stop what's coming. Have you heard that one? No one can stop what's coming. A lamp can be hidden, but the sun never, it can never be hidden. Such is my divine will. But more than sun, if you want to hide it, it shall be impossible for you. Therefore, be quiet. So here, Jesus is saying to Louisa, really to us, be quiet and let the eternal sun of my divine will follow its course. Let God have his way. Whether through the writings or through print or through your words and your manners, it's going to happen. Let the light, let it escape like light and cover the whole world. And then Jesus says, what he wants more than anything, I long for this. I want, as God, I want this. And besides, how much really of the truths about my divine will was put out? You know, this is, again, this is not even buying 20. It can be said that it was just the atoms of its light. So when we read, we're getting atoms of light. People have said to me, well, I read and I understand the divine will. You understand the book. The more I read, the more I'm in awe of how powerful our God is. I can get an atom of light. That's all. It can be said that you're just getting atoms of life. And even though they're atoms, if you knew the good that these truths, these atoms of light bring to humanity, if you only knew what God is doing, we've just begun. We've just begun to learn about this great gift of the divine will. God is in charge. He's got great plans and we're in them. And he's saying, like he said, right, we started, read slowly, deliberately. Let Jesus speak to you. It's not speed reading. He wants you. Every paragraph is a book. Every paragraph that we read is a library, because there is so much that God wants to share with us in these words that the Word of God is speaking to us. So what shall happen when, after all the truths I, Jesus, have spoken to you about my divine will have been gathered together? So this he's talking about right now. Finally, all the truths in the Book of Heaven have come together. We have all 36 volumes. The fecundity of its light, the goods it contains, they are all united together. What shall they form? Not just an atom or the rising of the sun, but it's full midday. Its light is going to be all around humanity. That new day is coming. That new and abundant day is going to happen very shortly. God wants us to get ready. He's basically saying to us everything that Scripture has told us about these end times. And I say the end times because that's what John Paul II said. He said, I call this the end times because that's what Paul called it 2,000 years ago. And then he said, if that was the end 2,000 years ago, we are now at the end of the end of times. And John Paul II said that 20 years ago. You got to know this is, he says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church. Get ready for the new springtime of mankind. The full midday is close. What good shall this eternal sun not produce in the midst of creatures? Everything's going to be good. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be heaven on earth. Everyone's going to be in perfect joy, perfect happiness, perfect peace. What he's doing now is he's saying to everybody, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. You want hell? That's going to be yours. You want heaven? That's going to be yours. But he says, you can have it 30, 60, or 100%. What do you want? So the more that we read, the more we long for heaven, the more we are getting ready for heaven. We're getting ready. What good shall this eternal sun not produce? It's going to produce everything that is great and glorious. It's the glory of God. It's the praise of God. It's the love of God that is going to be echoing through all the universe of our singing, our hymn, our praise to our God. And you and I shall be happier in seeing my will known, my will loved, and my will fulfilled. And he says, therefore, let me do this. Be quiet. Let me accomplish what I have planned. See, we're very close to for this God wrapping everything up. You have to understand everything that's happening in the world is basically for us to understand. It's close. It's very close. And our God is saying clearly, if you let this sun shine on you, these truths, these manifestations, these lessons, you and I will be happier in seeing that my most holy divine will is known, my most holy divine will is loved, and my most holy divine will is fulfilled. And then Jesus says, let me do this. Get out of the way. So how do we get out of the way? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. Amen. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.